Good to be in Guthrie again. It's better to know that Brother Howe told us to have our soul clear and know that we are saved, ready to go to meet the Lord. I'd like for us to consider a thought this morning with the help of the Lord of full extension. Years ago, when my wife and I first married, our first little house had, it was an old house, older kitchen cabinets, had no roller drawer slides of any kind. It was just wood on wood, and the drawers were constructed in a manner that they had to be partially in the cabinet when they were pulled out, or otherwise they would fall on the floor. And we lived in that place for several years, really not too many years. And then we moved to another place, and it had cabinet drawers just about the same. And the third place we lived had, I believe it had some roller slides on the, they were fairly inexpensive ones, and the drawers come out maybe a little bit further, but they did not fully extend. And then we embarked on a remodeling project that ended up with new kitchen cabinets, and somewhere along the line we discovered full extension drawer slides, the ones with the ball bearings and a lot of weight capacity. I think they'll hold maybe 100 pounds a drawer. And when you pull the drawer out, the very back boundary of the drawer is even with the front of the cabinet. And when you pull that completely out, everything in that drawer is accessible. Anything that we would had previous to that, it's so easy for the important things or the things you're looking for to migrate to the back of the drawer. And when you go to looking for the utensil or whatever component you're looking for, it's at the very back, and you're pulling things out and rummaging through and maybe feeling back in there and possibly could poke yourself with something sharp. And you know, my wife was happy with the other cabinet drawers that we had. But when we got the full extension cabinet drawer slides in, she was much more satisfied. And then when we moved a few years ago to our present house, we haven't put new cabinets in or anything like that, but she said, "There's one thing I'd like to ask you to do before we move in. Is take all those drawer slides off. They was just the partial extension. And put full extension drawer slides in her cabinets before we moved in." So I done that. You know why she wanted that? Because she was unwilling to go back to the fishing around in the back of the drawer and trying to find. It was such a blessing. It was such a benefit to her activity in the kitchen to be able to pull that drawer completely out and visually see everything that's in there without digging around in that, what might have migrated to the back of the drawer. Well, the reason I'm telling you that is because I believe that God wants us fully available and accessible to Him. I believe that. I believe with all of my heart that the life of a Christian is one that can be put into practice in everyday life. It doesn't matter if you put shingles on, or fix cars, or whether you're helping those that might be sick or afflicted. It doesn't matter what your occupation might entail. It might be a homemaker, it might be a teacher, whatever it possibly could be in a temporal occupation. I believe God wants you to live a life for Him, one that Christianity is displayed, one that the grace of God is accessible for others to see in all points. I believe in salvation. I believe in an experience of sanctification. And I believe that this type of thing needs to be able to be put into practice in everyday life. The boys, my boys, I have four sons, for anyone that doesn't know that. And many times when it's just the boys and I going down the road or together, they begin to ask me lots of hypothetical questions about mechanical things. And a lot of times I just have to tell them, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But in their minds, they can fabricate things that go faster and have more power and all this kind of thing. And it's just in their mind. It hasn't really happened. The reality is that a great portion of those things won't ever happen. A great portion of those things will never come to the place where the rubber meets the road. I want us to go beyond a hypothetical experience of living for the Lord in Christianity. I believe there's more to it than just camp meeting, although I really enjoy this. I enjoy seeing my other brothers and sisters from various places around the country. I appreciate your testimonies and your integrity with the Lord. But I want to, all of us, not just a few, not just some old ones, but I want all of us to be able to live it day in, day out. That's how growth occurs. That's how we become more established, more capable in resisting the enemy of our souls. I'd like for us to look, probably a very common scripture to all of us, in Romans, the 12th chapter, in the first verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's very easy for us as humanity to feel that there are things that are unreasonable that's asked of us. I, for one, have had to deal with situations in my life many times where I felt that what was expected out of me was unreasonable. It was more than I ought to have to do. And this verse says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, the thing, the carcass you're living in today, a living sacrifice. One that is continually crucified, continually subjected to the will and the pleasure of our Maker that we heard about last night. He says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Do you know that we really can live holy day in, day out? A life, our Sunday school lesson here in the adult class was about not accepting the precept of Christianity incorporating sin. The Lord will help you, but it's going to take full extension of yourself. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And have you ever considered partially sacrificing a live animal? They never done that. They took the entire life. They sacrificed the entire thing in the Old Testament. You and I, the intention here, this is reasonable. It's not unreasonable. It's not overextending. It's not above and beyond the expectation. It's a reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And the ones that are older, maybe in the congregation today, it may be easier for you to grasp the idea of sacrificing your future. But then I think of those that are my age, and I'm middle-aged now. And then I think of those that are my children's age, teenagers, maybe preteens. You know, the idea of sacrificing your life for the Lord can be kind of intimidating. The idea of a young man that has completed high school and the world, the future is before him. And there is a lot of capabilities here today. I'd venture to say if I went around and asked what your grade point average is of all of the teenagers here today, they would be above the national average. Considerably so. You know what that tells me? That tells me that you've had some good foundations. You've had some good home lives. You've had some encouragement. You've applied yourself. And you know, now maybe you've come to the end of your high school years and the door's wide open. And the concept of presenting your bodies a living sacrifice to God can be kind of intimidating. I realize that because I was there. Not too many years ago, it seems. But it says here that it's reasonable for you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's a reasonable service. It's not jerking the drawer out to the point that it won't close again. Have you ever done that? I'm sure we probably have. Pulled it plumb out and maybe the contents in the drawer fell on the floor. That's not what presenting your body a living sacrifice is all about. It's reasonable. It's what's expected out of you. It'll give you the most benefit in life. It'll give you happiness, contentment, satisfaction that don't leave you with a hangover. That don't leave you with a heartache. That don't leave you with regrets. What does the Scripture say about the joy of the Lord maketh rich? Is that correct? And what about the last part of that? Addeth no sorrow with it. No withdrawal, no regrets and wishing I'd chose a different path. You know, my age bracket had those that done very well academically. And I can tell you that choosing to follow God is satisfying. It's fulfilling. And it's not been a life of drudgery. I'd like for us to consider now another verse in this chapter. Let's look down to the 12th verse. Well, 9th verse first. It says, let love... We could read the whole chapter here, but it'd take too long today. So let's pick out a few verses. 9th verse says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. This is still in the drawer with full extension. Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation means hiding under a false appearance or feigning or faking it or a facade. Don't let your love be like that. Be real. Be genuine. Don't blow smoke up anybody's britches leg. Let your love be without dissimulation. Honest. Abhor that which is evil. Don't flirt with it. Don't play around with it. Don't see how close to the edge that you can get to without falling in. Abhor that which is evil. This is not overextension. I worked with a man that professes Christianity, and he said he told one the boss, he says, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Jesus fanatic. He said, if I hit my finger, I'm liable to say something nasty. Well, I'm going to tell you that the Lord wants full extension. He wants you to get to the place that if you do mash your finger, you won't say anything nasty. That's full extension. That's not overextension. I want to make that clear. The Lord will give you grace and power to conquer those fleshly appetites, those failures that would cause us to repeatedly fail and saying something that we shouldn't say. May the Lord help us in this. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Make it a habit to cultivate a relationship with God. Make it a habit to create an environment in your home, And you're like, young people, if you're fixing to depart your parents' place, you're going to be responsible for creating your own environment. But what are you going to create? It says, cleave to that which is good. What are you going to bring into your home? What are you going to bring into your mind? What kind of reading material? What are you going to have around? I enjoy reading. But I don't have, my time to read is very, very limited. So I have to exclude so much that it seems like all I have time for is something that pertains to my soul. And I'm not going to tell you that there's other reading you can't participate in, but you're going to have to be careful. Cleave to that which is good. You're going to have to create an environment where you can be fully extended for the Lord. What happens when someone calls and says, there's been an accident. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for my son? Is your drawer just come part way out? Is there something you got to repent of? Is there something you got to clear up before you can get a hold of God? That's partial extension. May the Lord help us to be willing to let our drawer be pulled all the way out. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. What's tribulation? That's the tough times. That's the disappointments. That's the rejection. That's the places that we don't want to be. The places that we feel that we want to avoid if we can at all. And he says here that we ought to be patient in tribulation. Do you know that being patient when we're right in the midst of the battle, that's just full extension. That's not above and beyond and something that is just unusual. It's expected. That's full extension. I work on cars for a temporal occupation, and over the years, I've accumulated a lot of tools and a nice toolbox, and I can't imagine working out of some 5-gallon buckets with my tools poured in it. Now, sometimes I'll do that at home and put a few tools in a 5-gallon bucket and maybe take it up on the roof or wherever I'm going to work, and that's the best thing I can do. But if you told me to get rid of my toolbox and put all my tools, my wrenches and sockets in a 5-gallon bucket or several of them at work, I'd tell you I just can't work that way. There's nothing any more annoying than to go digging around in there to try to find something. And God don't want to do that either. When He needs a job done, He doesn't want to have to recruit somebody and clean them up and get their mind and heart right, and then say, yeah, I got something, it needed to be done yesterday, but I couldn't find anybody, here's your job. No, He wants somebody He can pull the drawer out. People come to me at my work and says, can I borrow a test light? I say, yeah, it's on the bottom box, left side, top drawer. I know right where it's at. And when I pull it out, I expect it to be there. And I don't let anybody put my tools up because I want to put right back. So the next time, I'll waste no time. I know right where it's at. You know the Lord wants you to be that way. He wants you to be able to, the Lord has a job for you, whatever it might be. And He can go over there and say, brother, here it is. You're in there. There's something back there I want you to use for me. A word of encouragement. An act, a deed, maybe a little bit of your money, some of your skill, some of your talent. He wants you to be available. Then let's look in the 14th verse. It says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You know, that can be kind of hard to do. Bless them that persecute you. You ever had people give you a hard time? You ever notice that there are people that seem to get away with things that they shouldn't be able to get away with? It says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. You know, it's normal for you as a Christian to not curse. It's normal. It's not something that's above and beyond expectation. It's normal. It's just full extension. It's being totally available and totally used like the Lord would like for you to be. And in the 17th verse here we notice, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Recompense to no man evil for evil. We're talking about being fully extended for the Lord. Just what's, I'll use this word, normal. What's typical, what ought to be expected of you. You know, there's some people that maybe they deserve more hardship than they get. But you're never to do. You're never to help them get their share of hardship. That's unchristian. That's being fully available to the Lord. May the Lord help us not to ever fall into a trap. Another scripture I want us to think about here right along this time is in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, I believe. Start reading in the 12th verse. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch out ourselves beyond our measure. We stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." It is so human nature, carnal nature, for us to look around at other people and look around and feel justified and feel approved and commended because we don't do what somebody else does. Or but we're a half a notch better than the fellow next to us. Or we have more commitment than they do. The admonition, I believe, in this verse is don't fall into that trap. Don't allow yourself to say, well, they only let God pull the drawer halfway out. So if I let Him pull it three quarters of the way out, I'm 50% better than He is. That's a trap. And that's not presenting yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you see? It's easy for me, and I assume I'm fairly normal, to look around and see somebody else that's giving life half an effort. And it's easy for me to start feeling like that, well, I'm doing more than they are. And if I allow myself to look on that and consider that and meditate that, I'll get myself in trouble. But that's not who I'm answering to. I'm not answering to them. I'm answering to God. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your individual capabilities are. If you looked in my toolbox, there's some drawers that have sockets. And some of them have end wrenches. And some of them have electrical things in them. But they're not all in the same drawer. And I don't know what's in your drawer. But the object, the burden of our thought is that you'll allow God to use everything in there. And some drawers on my toolbox are open and closed. The paint is worn on the ledge where you open and close. And some of them maybe get open once a week. And see, I don't know where you are. I don't know what God has blessed you with and talents and capabilities. But we've fallen into error if I begin to compare myself. The Lord has pulled my drawer out three times this week, and this brother over here hadn't hit a lick of a snake. May the Lord help us. We're comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, and we'll get ourselves in trouble with the Lord. And then the enemy, Have you ever had a drawer that wouldn't open even as much as it was supposed to? Because something fell down in behind, or something was hung up and hitting the top of the cabinet or the drawer above it. And you pull one drawer out and another drawer tries to open. You know what I'm talking about. It can be a real trial, especially if you're in a hurry. You know, the devil would like to... That's what happens when we compare ourselves among ourselves. That's what happens when we begin to calculate whether somebody else is doing their part. I'm reminded of a verse there in Proverbs that tells me to look right on. Don't look to the right and don't look to the left, but keep my focus on the Lord. I'd like for... don't have any... maybe... something that'll just cause you to want to go out and be a missionary today, but that's included in this thought. I'd like for us to look in Hebrews, about the 10th chapter. This is just everyday stuff. 10th chapter of Hebrews, 23rd verse. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He's faithful that promised. But let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as we see the day approaching." Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, the enemy would like to come along and tell you that your attendance to services, your gathering of your family together for family worship time, whatever it is above the national average, so you've met your quota. And in the fear of the Lord, I want to just tell you that that's not full extension. That's not presenting your body as a living sacrifice acceptable to the Lord. Presenting your body a living, presenting your mortal frame a living sacrifice to the Lord. It's reasonable, and to be acceptable, that means that I make the focus of my existence to be there, to be at service. There are legitimate reasons for not being at service, and I'm not condemning those. But I want to tell you, you know, the Lord wants you available. You might have been able to been there and speak a word of encouragement to someone that was discouraged. You might have had some input that would have enlightened someone, that would have helped them get a grasp on the subject matter on Wednesday night that was discussed, or whenever it was, that would have really helped them. Just because if your presence would have been, it might have been the finishing touches. It might have been the boost of courage that the pastor needed. It's nothing any more encouraging for the pastor than to see everybody show up. If everybody shows up, there's just an element about it. You don't even have to say anything. But if everybody just shows up, there's an element of encouragement there for the pastor. There's an element of encouragement there for everyone else that comes. Just your presence. And for young people and children to begin to learn to testify when the Lord does something for them, that's just full extension. We're not going to hand out any gold medals or anything like that for that. It's just full extension. It's what we're anticipating out of you. It's normal, if you will. I'd like to touch on something I feel pretty passionate about as well. Talking about everyday life, because that's where the rubber meets the road. I don't know what you anticipate for the rest of the week. You may be going to work. You may have obligations this afternoon. I don't know when you leave this setting. But you know, I'm convinced that we can be saved. We can be a shining light wherever we are. We don't have to succumb to the pressures of the world and fall under the the environment and the undertones and all overtones and all of those things that's out there and put a shadow on our experience with the Lord. We can be a light in a world that we live in. So another thing that has to do with just everyday living is over here in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 22nd verse. I believe it's where we want to read. Pretty common scripture to all of us, I'm sure. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." This is not something that'll get you an achievement award. It's just full extension. It's not something that's above and beyond the call of duty. It's just full extension. And then, we heard a little comment about this, I believe, last night. 25th verse says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." This is just full extension. Christ gave Himself for the church. Laid it down. All of it. Laid it all out. Men, lay your life on the line for your wife. You know, if you realize that she's having trouble submitting to you, it may be because you're not loving her as your own body. And it goes both ways here, but the home is a beautiful picture. It's a fantastic thing that I want all of our young people to be blessed with in their lives. I'm thankful for the marriage I have. I'm thankful for the home that we have. And you can have one too. I'm going to tell you, if you enter into it without being fully extended and sacrificed in your life, in your mortal body, your existence here while life spares you on this earth, if you don't sacrifice that completely to the Lord, have it completely surrendered to His beck and call, your home could be a disastrous situation. But if both of you sincerely love the Lord, both of you, it can be the most blessed state and environment on this side of heaven. It really can. And it is a pattern of the church. And so many people today have trouble visualizing the church because they've had a bad experience in home and or in marriage. But it's beautiful and it'll work. If you're both fully extended for the Lord, it'll work every time because God wants it to. And He designed for it to work. And His promise and His blessing is on that thing. And it's not unreasonable in any stretch of the imagination for the wife to submit to their husband. And it's not unreasonable for the husband to go beyond what his co-workers do. That's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable for him to care for her, for him to look out for her well-being beyond the other fellow's wildest imaginations. And be considerate and thoughtful of her needs and her wishes and her desires. I'll put it to you this way, husbands, you ought to love your wife. You ought to care for them to the point that she would feel guilty if she didn't submit to you. All right? That's not unreasonable. That's just full extension. That's not unreasonable. And then in 1 Timothy 3:17. I want to say this. We said earlier that we're not really talking about going to be a missionary, but I want to tell you, if you're having a bad experience in your marriage, being a missionary is not a good escape route. Get your marriage in line. Get your relationship with your husband and your wife in tune and functioning the way God wants it to be, and then you can be effective for the Lord. But if you got trouble at home, don't go work for the Lord. Fix the trouble at home first. You'll be a lot more effective. Well, 1 Timothy 3 and 7 says this. Moreover, he must have a good report. We're talking about the qualifications here of a bishop. I believe all of us have to meet these qualifications. This is not something exclusive. But he says here, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. A good report of those without. I'll tell you what my understanding of this is. It's just plainly those that you rub shoulders with. Those that are out there in the world. Those that you see at the place of business down the street. Those that you do work for. Those that have come in contact with you on business dealings. Those that hear your conversation. Those that hear the stories you tell and maybe the funny things that you relate. Those that ride along with you in the car and see what you do when somebody pulls out in front of you. All right? Some of us work with people that have no profession of salvation. And you know, it's important that you have a good report with them. It's not just important. It's not something that's that'll get you an extra medal. It's just full extension. It's normal. It's what you ought to be doing. If you're anything less than that, you're a partial extension drawer. You're not being fully acceptable for the Lord. The worst nightmare that I think a man could have is living one way on the job and another way at church. Can you imagine trying to coordinate that? That I have enough stress and enough responsibilities and pressures in my life as it is. And I would certainly hate to try to make sure my family didn't meet someone that I worked with. Or that somebody I worked with didn't get in a private conversation with one of the brothers at church. And the last thing that I would want to happen would them to be start talking about me and find out that they both knew me. Now that would be a terrible situation. It's so much better for us to just live our... The Lord's got the grace and the power to help us do that. And that's what my burden is today. That would be full extension. That we would be totally available to the Lord. Not just our life when we're at service or at camp meeting, but every day. The stories we tell, the things that we listen to, the things that we look at, that other people see. May the Lord help. And people, the things that people don't see that we look at too. It says here, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, those that don't know the Lord, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. You know, if my wife has a drawer in her cabinets that don't open, she's going to ask me. She's not going to put up with it. She will for a little while. But she's going to ask me to fix it. Whatever it might be, she's going to say, I'm having a problem and I want it fixed. If we allow ourselves to be anything less than having a good report of anybody that comes in contact with us, we're going to fall into a snare and it's going to be a problem. And my advice, if you'll let me today, is get it fixed. Don't let it fester. Don't let it accumulate more dirt and more trash, but get it fixed. That's the only way to live. A good report is not optional equipment. You got to have it. Well, I want to end with one other thought, one other scripture here in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Notice in the 12th verse. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It's quite a list, isn't it? That's not unreasonable. That's all included in presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly. What did the other verse say? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And he says here, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Did you know that young and old alike, as time goes on, we're going to make observations about one another. And in 10 years from now, there are the young people that are sitting here, those of us that are older, we're going to make some observations. Either they're giving themselves wholly and completely to the Lord or they're not. It's just a fact of life. We're going to make those observations. We're going to come to those conclusions. And we're going to say to one another, we talk about, you see. We're going to say, you know, that young person really appears to love the Lord. I can tell by the choices they've made in life that they're really applying themselves. And you know what that does for us, older ones? That causes us to be thrilled. Oh, I'm so glad that I can see that. But you know, young people can make the same observation about older folks. And I'm sure that you do. I know you talk about us too. And I'm sure that you come to conclusions that they don't really have it. Or that they really do. You know, time has a way of causing those things to come to the surface. And we make observations about people's priorities. What they focus on in life and where they spend their time and energy and all of that. We make observations. And we make decisions that are come to conclusions and say, you know, I really appreciate that brother or that sister. I feel like I can depend on them. Or you may say something different than that. It behooves all of us to give ourselves wholly to being fully extended. I might only have a crescent wrench and a screwdriver in my drawer, but the Lord wants to have that accessible to Him. And you may have something very complex. You may have an oscilloscope in your drawer, and the Lord wants that to be available to Him too. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. I don't want to end with that thought. Did you know if we allow ourselves to fall into anything less than full extension, I'm too valuable to give it all to the Lord. I have too many things going for me than to put God first. If you're thinking that, you're going to end up in a disappointed situation. I'm sorry, but that's what's going to happen. If you're unwilling to completely surrender your future to the Lord, you're going to have some heartaches along life's way. I want to challenge you, young and old, to open yourself up and allow the Lord to use all of your abilities. He will not use your table knife for pry bars. He will not use your things that would damage you. He's not going to take them and do something He shouldn't with them. He's going to allow you to be molded and shaped into something that will cause others to be attracted to living for the Lord. It says here, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's nothing that has more of an impact on society than a life lived. Day in, day out. Something that people can count on, that they can look back to. And when you say, I can't do that because I feel that God wouldn't be pleased with me, they'll go home and think about it. It has an impact. And it'll touch other hearts and other lives. If we want to be satisfied and feel like that we can get by with all of our tools and a 5-gallon bucket at work and do something else with our time and our abilities, so to speak, we're going to end up being dissatisfied with the idea of living for the Lord. We're going to be dissatisfied with the fulfillment that comes from being a Christian. I want to tell you that, and it's no light thing for me to say this, but I want you to know that I'm satisfied thus far with how my life has turned out. I'm not sorry that I made the choices that I did. And my appeal to young and old alike today is to commit yourself to the Lord. Don't be afraid to allow Him to pull the drawer completely out. Don't be afraid to cause other people to gasp in amazement. It doesn't matter. Allow the Lord to use that the way He would like to use it. Surrender yourself to Him. It's not just to the young people. Older people can do this too. Older people can apply themselves and come with a Bible lesson instead of just showing up. May the Lord help us. I want to be faithful. I want to be diligent. And most of all, I want to be fully extended for the Lord. Pray for me.